Let's turn together in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you are visiting with us as a congregation, we've spent the last few months working through the heroes of the faith, of the great faith chapter. It's been called various things. But now we're bringing to a conclusion here today, looking at the end of Hebrews chapter 11. We looked at faith in its various parts made manifest in the various beliefs, confidence of God's people, which moved them to act upon their faith, various promises that were made to the Lord, and how he fulfilled those in his good time. So Hebrews 11, that's found on page 1196. We're going to be reading just the last two verses here. Hebrews 11, starting at verse 39. "And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had promised something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." And that's as far as reading in Hebrews 11. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at these two verses together this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we bring to a conclusion our series through Hebrews chapter 11, we started our series by looking at the opening verses of Hebrews 11, giving us a definition of true faith. As our catechism puts it, true faith is a knowledge, a conviction, it is an assurance. True faith hopes for something, it believes in someone who cannot be seen, for who hopes for what they have already received. Well, what then does true faith look forward to? What is the content of the thing for which they hoped? What are we waiting for? Added to this, when we read Hebrews 11, we read this list of these men and women of the faith. What did they long for? What were they looking forward to? What had been promised to them? To ask this question another way, did the Old Testament saints look forward to the same thing that we are looking forward to? Do we have a shared faith? There are many promises given in the Bible, but there is one key central promise, that golden gospel promise that ties all of Scripture together. And perhaps I can illustrate this with considering what the promises made in marriage are like. Perhaps some of you were at a wedding yesterday, and within the context of the marriage, the husband and wife will be making many promises to each other. Small, simple promises like, yes, I promise to do the dishes, or I promise to take out the dog, or I promise to sweep the floor. A lot of promises are made. But there is one core, central promise that holds the marriage together. A marriage made together is a covenant built on a promise. I promise to be your husband. I promise to be your wife. I promise to love you for better or for worse, for sickness and in health. I do. That is the promise that is made. There's one central promise that holds a marriage together. In a similar way, there is one central promise of the covenant of redemption. A promise that God gave to his people right after the fall. A promise of future salvation. So as we bring Hebrews 11 to a close for now, we consider this theme. Jesus Christ reveals that true faith focuses on the gospel promise. True faith focuses on the gospel promise. Well, what are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to spring break, perhaps? Are you looking forward to going on vacation? Perhaps you're looking forward to graduation, or you're looking forward to the birth of a child or a grandchild. There are many things that we look forward to, but there is one central thing that we should look forward to, and that is the fulfillment of God's gospel promise. And at first point, then, we find that true faith is a faith that looks forward. Here, starting in verse 39, "And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised." True faith is a conviction of things not yet seen. True faith is an expectation for something that is not now had, something that is not present, some event or some person who is coming. Hebrews 11:39, they did not receive what was promised. So these men and women of the faith listed here in Hebrews 11, and we could add all of the saints of the Old Testament, commended for their faith. They had an expectation that looked forward, that looked ahead, beyond what was seen, what was experienced today. They died in the faith. And they died without receiving that which was promised. I'll say that again. They died without receiving what had been promised. Well, how can that be? Haven't we just spent the last few months seeing how the faith of these saints was fulfilled? Well, let's consider this for a moment, starting with Abraham. Abraham received a promised child. But Hebrews 11 closes by saying Abraham did not receive the thing that he was promised. Abraham died before that promise was fulfilled. In other words, Isaac was not the child of the promise that Abraham was looking forward to. There is someone else that Abraham was looking for, Moses and the Israelites. Moses and the Israelites, they were promised an inheritance. They were promised residence in the land of rest. They longed for the opportunity to be brought into the presence of God in the land of rest. But that rest was not found in the land of Canaan. As verse 10, Hebrews 11, verse 10 clearly puts, they were looking forward to a city whose builder and designer was God. They were looking for a city built by God. Moses was promised a reward in verse 26. A reward was what Moses was looking forward to, but the fleeting wealth found in the land of Egypt was not the reward that he was looking forward to. Fleeting wealth was not the wealth that he looked for by faith. David was promised a son who would sit on his throne, his very son and heir, who would sit on his throne, ruling as king forever, and who would build the temple, the place where God would dwell with his people. But David did not receive that which was promised, because Solomon was not this son. Solomon was not the son of the promise. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by faith, they looked forward to a liberty from the fire of destruction. And although their bodies were spared from the earthly fires, by faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not receive what they were promised, which was liberty from all and eternal destruction. They didn't get it yet in this life. Daniel was rescued from the lion's den, but the ones in the den, the lions in the den, were not the prowling lion that Daniel had to be delivered from. Last week we saw with those women of the faith who received back their dead. Yes, their dead were resurrected, but they were promised a resurrection that their sons or their brother did not receive. Yeah, they had a partial resurrection, a physical life, but there was a better life that they did not yet receive. By faith, they were looking forward to a greater, to a fuller life. So the writer of Hebrews concludes this chapter by saying, all these Old Testament believers, these heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, had a faith that looked ahead, a faith that was an expectation, and they received a partial fulfillment, but they never received the object of their faith made sight. They were given preliminary glimpses, shadows of the coming reality. There was a promised reality that always remained just out of reach. The Old Testament saints died by faith looking forward, starting with Adam and Eve, running all the way down to John the Baptist. They had a hope, and they died in the hope of their faith in things yet to come. The promise of rest, of victory, of a promised child, rescue from the foe, eternal life, deliverance from every enemy, life everlasting in a better glory. None of these received what they longed for. They perceived it from afar. They would catch a glimpse, flashes of light, but the sun remained hidden beyond the horizon. So the writers of Hebrews is making it clear that the faith of these Old Testament saints is future-oriented, looking beyond. Theirs was a time of anticipation and preparation. The shadows would remain the closest that they would come. And yet they were commended for their faith. Even though they did not see the object of their faith made flesh, I'll put it that way, they were still justified by faith. The salvation that the Old Testament saints received was a gracious gift, and it was a gracious gift based upon the future work of Jesus Christ. So the forgiveness of their sins has the same foundation for the forgiveness of our sins, but their faith was looking forward hundreds, if not a few thousand years before Jesus Christ even came. They saw his coming with gladness. They believed in events yet unseen and greeted them from afar. They saw the promised salvation of God, and they believed it would come to earth. And they rejoiced. Now, it is encouraging to remember that the Old Testament saints did not have everything figured out. Even today, we know that there are some things in the scriptures that are hard for us to understand. But the core central doctrine of salvation was embraced in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and today. That we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. That is what the Old Testament saints were saved by. And that is how we are saved. And for this faith they were commended. They lived before Jesus came, and they were saved, they were justified by faith in a coming Messiah. And they were commended for this. Now remember, all the way back to the beginning of our series in Hebrews 11, this word commended is linked to our word for martyr. They were martyred for their faith. Each one died receiving a commendation from God as being faithful. From righteous Abel, the first martyr, all the way down to John the Baptist, the last martyr before Jesus Christ died and rose again. They all died looking forward by faith. They counted the cost. And for them, the blessings of the future were worth more than anything that could be lost today, even their own physical life. A better country, a greater reward, a perfect life was worth waiting for. So they would let go of the things of this world, even laying down their life as a martyr in the hope of a future better life. So true Old Testament faith is a faith that looked forward. They did not live to see the historical accomplishment and arrival of the promise. So true faith in the Old Testament was a faith that looked forward, but true faith is also a faith that looks up. This is our second point. Verse 40 begins by saying, since God. Who was the one that gave promises in the Old Testament? Who was the one that commended these men and women of the faith, commended them for their faith? Well, true faith is not only a faith that looks forward, true faith is a faith that looks up, that looks to heaven. True faith looks to the God of the promise, the God of the living, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the patriarchs, the God who covenanted with his people, God the Father who delivered the promise to his people. Now, sometimes in the Old Testament, this promise, the announcement of good news, the announcement of the gospel, was delivered by the hand of angels. We find Abraham and his heavenly guests who met him at his tent. Moses on the top of the mountain received the law from the hand of angels. Jacob wrestled with an angel by the water. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire met by the angel of the Lord. Daniel in the lion's den, the mouth of the lion closed by angels. Each one blessed by an angelic visitor who promised something from the Father. Even as Hebrews 1 opens, long ago and at many times, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So God has revealed the promise at many times and in many ways, like an unfolding flower, revealing various aspects of this one central truth. And again, Hebrews 6, verse 13, when God made a promise to Abraham, he swore by himself, since he had no one greater by whom to swear. God makes a promise, and he guarantees that promise by swearing by himself. I swear that I will do what I say. And he makes a covenant with his people, like that flaming torch and fire that passes through the cut parts of the animal, signifying that it is God who makes and keeps the promise. He is the covenant-making and keeping God. But what then is this central promise? Well, the covenant promise is found in Genesis 17 and repeated again in Acts chapter 2. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. The covenant promise is repeated and it is clear. It was embraced by the saints of the Old Testament. Repent and believe in God's Messiah, and you will be saved. Be sorry for your sins and trust the appointed mediator. So it is for us, looking back, we repent of our sins and we embrace Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of God's gospel promise. Who is the central promise of the covenant? It is Jesus Christ. Clearly, Jesus is the one who fulfills this promised word. Hebrews 12, I think we're going to continue in Hebrews 12 in a couple months from now when we come back. Hebrews 12, verse 2, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, Jesus is the yes and the amen to all of God's promises. Jesus is the author, the perfecter of faith, and Jesus is the yes, he's the fulfillment of all of God's promises. So all of the promises you read in Hebrews 11 were pointing to Jesus, and he fulfills every one of them. Again, Jesus in Luke 24, verse 44, you search the scriptures because you think they're pointing to me. You search the scriptures because you think they're pointing to the way of salvation. But Jesus says the scriptures are pointing to me. The law, the prophets, the Psalms, they were pointing to me, Jesus says. So you can't read the Old Testament and not see Jesus. The only way to understand the Old Testament is as it's pointing to and fulfilled in him. Even the mother promise, the first promise given in Genesis 3, after the fall, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. So to be clear, faith in God's appointed Messiah is shared by both the Old and the New Testament saints. They looked forward, to be sure. We look back, but the subject and object of our faith remains the same. True faith looks up, looks to God. As summarized in Hebrews 8, verse 6, Christ's work as a priest is better than the Levitical priesthood because he, Jesus, mediates a better covenant and acted upon better promises. As A.W. Pink puts it, Christ himself is the prime promise. I love this word. Prime promise. Not only because he is the substance of the first promise given after the fall, but also because he accomplishes all of the promises of God. So he's the substance of the promise, and he accomplishes every promise of God. But what exactly has God promised, and to whom? If the Old Testament saints had a faith that looked forward, living in a time of preparation and shadow, what about the saints of today? Are they better off? And sometimes we think that. It would have been really wonderful to live during the Old Testament, right? You'd see the theophanies, you see God showing up in the firestorm, God speaking from the wind or the whirlwind. You see all these miracles, signs, and wonders. But Hebrews 11, verse 40 puts it this way, since God has provided something better for us. Something better for us. Well, how are the Hebrew Christians, remember the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians, Hebrew Christians. How are the Jewish Christians better off than the heroes of the faith listed here in Hebrews 11? How are we better off than those who lived during the Old Testament? Well, the central theme of the book of Hebrews is simply to show that the New Testament believers are better off than the old because the shadows have given way to the reality. The Hebrew Christians were tempted to cling to the types and shadows, pictures of the Old Testament, when they had been given a substance so much better. Why would you cling to the spark and flame when the Son of Righteousness has risen in all his glory? Why would you hold on to a candle when the sun has crested the horizon? How are the Hebrew Christians better off? Well, back in the Old Testament, the saints believed in the promise of God, but they were looking through the glass dimly. They looked into a room where all the lights were off and the shades were shut. We now live in the time when the shades are drawn open and the lights are turned on. We can see clearly what the Old Testament was pointing to and promising. They could not always make out the meaning, but we have the reality. God has provided something better for us. Consider Matthew 13, verse 17. Matthew 13, verse 17. Many prophets and righteous persons longed to see what you, the disciples, see, and they did not see it. The Old Testament prophets, the people of Hebrews 11, longed for the day of Jesus Christ's arrival. They longed to see it, but they died without seeing it. Again, in Luke 7:28, Jesus talking about his cousin, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the greatest of those born of women. He was the greatest of the Old Testament era prophets. Now, you might think, well, he's in the New Testament. Yes, but he was killed. He was martyred before the fulfillment of the covenant. So he is part of the Old Testament era. He died without seeing Jesus Christ crucified and raised and glorified. And Jesus says in Luke 7, John was the greatest of those born of the women, born of the Old Testament era. He's the last of the Old Testament martyrs killed before the Son of Christ, the Son of God, would die, rise, and be glorified. Yet Jesus continues in Luke 7, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So the least in the new covenant, in the new kingdom, living post-Pentecost, is greater than even John the Baptist. Because of the blessings of clarity that we have received. One more, we read this earlier, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 12. It was revealed that the prophets were not serving themselves, but us. So when you read the Old Testament prophets, they were not ministering only to themselves or to their initial readers because they died without fully understanding how all these things would work out. Even Daniel we think of the visions that Daniel received and the dreams that he interpreted, he died without fully understanding what he was saying. He had true faith, absolutely, but it was a child faith, an infant faith, an adolescent faith, a young faith. Here Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 12, the prophets were ministering to us. The Old Testament was written for New Testament believers so that our faith might be strong and that we might see that the fulfillment, the time of fulfillment has come. We can read the pages of Scripture and specifically the Old Testament in a way that the Old Testament saints could never do, because we live after Christ. And we see, for example, the Psalms and Isaiah, how all these things, and even the words that Jesus spoke on the cross, were spoken in the Old Testament, recorded by David, for example, years before they would be fulfilled. So we are provided something better, the Holy Spirit given to us so that we might understand the Old Testament in a way that the Old Testament saints could themselves not receive. Shadows, types of the Old Testament finding their perfect fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So the writer of Hebrews says that there's something better for us, that we live in the time of fulfillment. And then verse 40 concludes by saying that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. The Old Testament saints were waiting for Jesus Christ to come, but they were also waiting for the New Testament church. That's wild. The Old Testament church was waiting for the New Testament church. The Old Testament saints could not be perfected until the age of the Spirit and the kingdom of Christ was established. Even today, we as a church are looking forward. What are we looking forward to? We're looking forward to the perfection. We live in the time of the already. Jesus Christ is King. The Spirit has been poured out. We live in the time of fulfillment. We can understand the Scriptures, seeing, reading these things clearly. We live in the already, but we also live in the time of the not yet. Like the Old Testament saints, we are looking forward to something. We are looking forward to the time when the blessings of the covenant in their completion and fulfillment would be applied to the entire holy universal church. There is a future event that the Old Testament saints were looking forward to by faith, that the New Testament saints, the writers of Hebrews writing to them and us today, one event that we are all looking forward to. As one church, the one body, the one bride of Christ, we are looking forward to perfection. When all of the promises find their yes and their amen, because there are still promises that God has made to the church that haven't been fulfilled. There are still promises for which we are waiting. On that day, the entire church will be perfected, they with us. So everyone from Abel, the first Old Testament martyr, to John the Baptist, the last Old Testament martyr, from Stephen, the first New Testament martyr, all the way to the last Christian killed for his faith. They are sitting under the throne in Revelation 6. That's the souls of the martyrs, Revelation 6. Sitting under the throne. And they are crying out, how long? Even while they wait, the martyrs are crying out by faith. God, we know you are faithful, and you have promised something that you haven't done yet. Perfection. How long, Lord? How long till you come and judge the earth? How long until you completely wipe out all of your and our enemies. How long until you cast the devil and death itself into the bottomless pit? How long until you raise and glorify your bride? And one day Jesus will respond by saying, today you will see my salvation. On that day, the trumpet will sound, the angels will call, and the entire church, Old Testament, New Testament, us today, the entire church will be raised and glorified. The saints that we read here in Hebrews 11 will be there on that day. The Hebrew Christians who read this first book when it was first authored and published and sent to those churches, they will be there that day. And if you repent and believe, you will be there that day. The saints, beholding the beauty of the Lord together, made perfect like Christ their glorious head. And all who have believed in him will have their faith made sight. And the yes and the amen to all of God's promises will be fulfilled. To conclude, Hebrews 11 sets before us an aspect of faith. Faith is not just knowing something. It is a conviction that when God makes a promise, he will keep that promise. The Old Testament saints lived by faith, and they never saw the full promise fulfilled. So it is today. Faith reorients our lives to look forward and to look up as we trust the God of the promise, as we trust Jesus Christ to fulfill all of God's promises. As our theme states, Jesus Christ reveals the truth that true faith focuses on gospel promises. So may we be found faithful as we learn to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, as we believe in Jesus Christ for our complete salvation. The Old Testament saints died in the faith, and they are still looking forward with eager expectation, along with creation itself crying out for the sons of God to be revealed. May our faith be strong and steadfast, looking to the author and perfecter of our faith as we wait for him to make us perfect on that day and to grant us a better life in the city that he is building. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder of the blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that by faith we are joined to the Old Testament saints. And although we live in a time of greater clarity, we thank you that we have a shared faith in Christ as the only mediator between God and men, the only one who can save. And as we eagerly desire and long for the day when Jesus Christ comes back and makes us perfect, perfects his bride, may we wait patiently of strong and steadfast faith, knowing that you are faithful as our God and you have sent your Son to fulfill your promises. You are faithful. You will do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.